This morning, we're going to continue our series on the need that we have in our families, in our lives, and also in our church, and also in our land. We need revival. Last week, we talked about that it's all right to pray for revival. The psalmist in Psalm 85, verse 6 says, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" It is perfectly fine to want revival because that is God's will for us. It's perfectly fine and expected to have results in revival. You know, revivals are not a series of meetings. It's a change of relationship. It's getting closer to God. It's changing us. And we already know that a revived church is one that will go out and win souls. Revival was what was needed in the church at Ephesus when they had left their first love. The first love is men's souls. Men's souls. That's the Great Commission. And when we are revived, and we're following this, we will be rejoicing. Those were the 3 points from last week's lesson. Today, the title of my message is Revival in Such a Time. There's got to be a time element to revival. There's got to be some issue that triggers us to want to have a change. And we're going to be looking in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. You say, "I've heard this thing before." Yes, it's about Isaiah's call. We've been studying the book of Isaiah Wednesday night. But Isaiah was revived here. Amen. Isaiah was called out, and he went, and we know that the rest of the book is talking about what he told the people. Right. How God used him. And folks, if we're revived, we will be used of Him. We're quickened again. So this morning, we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And it says, "In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain or 2 of them, he covered his face. And with twain or 2 of them, he covered his feet. And with twain, 2 of them, he did fly. And one cried unto another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." We talked about last week about prayer. And prayer is absolutely essential for revival. We pray for revival this morning. We pray for revival in our men's prayer breakfast yesterday. We need to start praying for revival daily, and it'll come. It'll come. But we talked about the illustration of the early church in Acts chapter 4, where they were praying in the room, and the whole room was shaken. Folks, wouldn't we want to see that power of God in our lives today?
Amen.
He's the same God. We've changed.
Yes. Yes.
We need revival. We need revival. So the house was full of smoke. In verse 5 it says, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." See, we need revival in such a time because we're in a lot of same circumstances that Isaiah was in. America is in need of revival. Amen. There's been no more of a serious time than what we have right now. We're in this pandemic. We have economic crisis. We have world crisis. We have unrest everywhere. We have racial unrest. Everything seems to be broken. There's very little good news. We have a troubled world. We have a moral decline. Yesterday, we were in our men's prayer breakfast, and David brought up the fact of all these churches that are struggling and need help. We need revival. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're losing the fight.
Right.
Barnard does some research, and he typically deals with religious things. Latest research he put out, he said that 20% of evangelical churches will close in the next 18 months. You can see what's happening with COVID. It's even see here in the loss of, you know, families just not being able to be here. And now it's easier for people to watch online than to come to church. We've been disconnected. All these things are happening. In 2020, 4,500 churches closed, but only 3,000 started. So we're on a slippery slope going backwards. America needs revival. As I was studying for this sermon, I ran across this study by a professor out in California by the name of Alexandria Hansen. And she was talking about the moral decline in America. And she pointed out several things. She said there's a moral decline in education. And there's been a lot of issue about radicalization in education. I'm not going to get into that stuff. What we need to understand, folks, we need to understand the Bible. And we need to compare all world's events and everything that we hear against God's Word. And it's either following it, truth, or it's not following it, error. And then we need to stand up for the truth and rebuke the error.
Amen.
That's what we need to do.
Amen.
Okay? And so you need to get involved. If you're delegating all of your kids' education to the education system, you're wrong. It is a parent's responsibility to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. Proverbs 22:6.
Amen.
Also points out violence. You could turn on the news. And it's interesting that some violence is acceptable and some violence is not.
Yeah.
You can keep on looking and see this issue about identifying with religion, and you can't say bad things about other people even though they're the wrong. Folks, we need to stand for the truth. Family. The family unit as God has taken it has been destroyed.
Yes.
It's no longer a man and a woman for life. It can be a man and a man. It's not right. It's wrong.
Amen.
It's sin.
Amen.
May not be politically correct, but this church is going to stand for God's truth.
Amen.
And so the issue is we got to show truth. We got to show, because if the righteous don't do anything, then what happens? The foundations will be removed. And then lastly, politics. You know, what we should do is, as far as politics, my only guidance to you is, look at your candidates and vote based on what God's Word says.
Amen.
That's it. I'm not going to endorse candidates. I don't care what party you are. The issue is I care about what you believe. That's the key. Folks, we need to look at what people believe. Because not everybody believes as you do. Secret. Doesn't matter what they say they are.
Come on.
Okay? Doesn't matter what they say they are. You be a Christian and be as radicalized as the world.
Yeah.
Or say you're a Christian and be as radicalized.
Sure.
Now here's the interesting thing here. Over here is the thing about cartoons.
Yeah.
Remember when you watch cartoons?
Yeah.
And they were fun to watch? And now they become social experiments. And now they become political statements. And now they're just filthy.
Yeah.
Folks, if you watch South Park, if you watch The Simpsons, if you watch The Simpsons, those things, you shouldn't watch those things.
Amen.
See, the problem with Lot was that Lot went into Sodom and Gomorrah and he vexed his righteous soul with the wicked deeds of the people.
Right.
You can't watch junk and expect to do righteousness.
Right.
It'll come in, it'll corrupt you. Evil communications corrupt good manners.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the first thing is, if you're watching that junk, stop.
Yeah.
You're listening to that junk, stop.
Yeah.
This is what Isaiah had to go through. See, Isaiah The prophet lived in such a time as we are in America today. I'll give you a real quick summary of up to chapter 6. In chapter 1, God calls out Israel, His chosen people, as being a wayward people. Wayward means you're not going the right way. Okay? You're not going the right way. You know, he starts out with illustrations. He says, the ox knows its master, but you don't know me. And in verse 4, he says this. In Isaiah 1, verse 4, he says, ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They have gone away backward. Sounds like they needed revival. This is America today. This is some of our churches today. Sounds like we need some revival, folks, because we're going wayward. You know, we think that often, some people think, that often we can just do whatever we want. God just closes his eyes and winks at it and says, that's okay. You're my child and I love you unconditionally. That's true. But he hates sin. And he's going to judge sin. In chapter 5, the Lord writes down 6 woes. Woe is judgment. Folks, America's under judgment. The church is under judgment. Judgment should first begin at the house of God. In chapter 5, verses 20 through 23, I'm going to show you 3 woes. And don't you think that this is today? A lot of people today say, well, the Bible's not relevant. That's all Old Testament. It's just as current today as it was then.
Amen.
We're going through the same problems now as they were then. Yes. And you know something? The answer's still the same. A relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yes.
But verse 20 says, woe! Now see if this is not what we see today. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. We've got the whole world upside down. What was bad is now good. You know, Paul had the same problem in the Roman Empire. In chapter 1 of Romans, it says they were doing everything wrong, and God gave them over to reprobate mind. He said that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and put bitter for sweet and bitter for and sweet for bitter. You know, from if you watch the internet or you watch the news, you don't know what truth is anymore. The second one, verse 21. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes. Oh, we've heard this, follow the science and all this other junk. Don't follow the politics, folks. Follow the absolute standard of God's word.
Amen.
You sound pretty fanatical up here. We have to be.
Come on.
We have to be. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Do things my way and not yours. Don't think about it. Just do it. Just listen. We know best for you. No. Try the spirits to see if they be of God. Hereby we know the spirit of truth, the spirit of error. First John chapter 4. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and that men of strength to mingle strong drink. You know, we hear about all the addiction crises that we have in our country today. Had the same problem back then. It says, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Wow. So we see that Israel was a wayward people, just like America is a wayward country right now. We see that there's woes pronounced, and God's going to pronounce judgment on anybody who breaks his law, including America.
Right.
And then in chapter 6, we get into Isaiah's transforming vision. And that's what I want to look at this morning, and it applies to us. It applies to us. The first thing that Isaiah needed, and what we also need, is we need a new awareness of the character of God.
Right.
In the first 4 verses of chapter 6, we see that Isaiah is getting a vision of who God is.
Amen.
And see, Isaiah had a need to look to God after the death of King Uzziah. A little bit of history about King Uzziah. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, you go read it. He reigned for 52 years in Jerusalem. While Zacharias was the prophet, he did good. But then after Zacharias died, he said, well, I can worship God just like the priest. And he went into the temple and he started burning incense. And the priest came out and said, you can't do this. And the prophet came out and said, you can't do this. He said, I'll do what I want to do. And God struck him with leprosy. And then he lived in a separate house until he died. There was a lot of people looking to King Uzziah because he was a good king. There's a lot of things that people look to in the world. They're good, but they're not the best. God is the best. God is best. Some things that we look to get in the way of revival. And what we need to do is those things have to be taken out of the way. In this case, Isaiah may have been looking to the king. We don't know exactly. But the implication is that in this time, at this time, then he gets a vision of God. So the king had to be removed in order for him to get a vision of God. What needs to be removed in your life to get a clear vision of God? Because unless you have a clear vision of God, there's no revival. So Isaiah finds out what God is really like. And in verse 1, he sees them where? He sees them sitting on the throne. You know why? Because God is entitled to that. He's the ruler of the universe, creator of heaven and earth. He alone is judge. He alone is truth. He alone is absolute. And he sees him high and lifted up. Folks, we need to bring God up, put him on his level instead of trying to bring him down to ours. That's when things get messed up. When families get messed up, when you try to get down to kids' levels. No, your parents and your kids are kids. We're not all the same. And so he sees them high and lifted up. Folks, it's time to start glorifying God. It's time to start lifting God up. And then his train filled the temple. His train filled the temple. So Isaiah gets this vision when the king dies. He says, ah, God, this is what he looks like. Let's get a clear vision of who God is, folks. It's not who you think he is. It's who he says he is. See, what is God like? See, to get a picture of what is God like for us, will bring revival. See, the first thing is we need to remember that God is all powerful. He's omnipotent. But folks, I'll tell you what. If we say that God is all powerful, but he's not big enough to handle my problems, you need revival. My Bible tells me that God's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save. He says, there's nothing too hard for me. And if you don't go to God for your issues, then you need revival. God's all-knowing. He's omniscient. When Christ was talking to the crowd, he says, and he knew their thoughts. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing what? The joints and marrow and discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, if you think that you can get away with that God doesn't see, that he's just blinking his eyes and it's just letting you go on your way, you need revival. See, this is the land that Isaiah was living in. See, Isaiah needed to get a clear picture of God. We need to get a clear picture of God. And if you don't have that clear picture of God today, you need to get one. And that's how revival can start. We need to understand that God's everywhere. He's omnipresent. Sometimes we go to places that we don't want God to know that we're there, but he knows that you're there. I've used this illustration before when I was training some foreign students from the Middle East and countries like Saudi Arabia, and they have very strict standards. They come over to the United States, they live, wow! Debauchery was just rampant. And I asked them, I said, why, if your moral code is so strict in your country that you're doing what you're doing, well, God's not here. Allah doesn't see me here. I said, God. God does see you. He knows exactly what you're doing. You can't go away. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He says, I'm going to be with you always, even to the end of the world. If you don't think God isn't here now, you need revival. If you don't think God's with you, you need revival. So we need revival to let God fix our problems. We need a revival to understand that God sees what we need to do and what we're doing and that we need to please Him. We need revival to understand God's here. He's here today.
Amen.
And then the last thing is, He's eternal. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, if all we have in this life is the hope of God, we're of all people most miserable. I taught in our class, in youth class this morning, that the reason we have patience is because patience, you're waiting for something. We're waiting for eternity, folks. And everything we do now has eternal consequences. God the same, Christ, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
So what is God like? He's all these things. And if He's not these things to you, you need revival. And we're not going to have revival break out in our church until we see this. We see God for who He truly is. America won't have revival until people start seeing God for who He truly is. See, what we need to do as individuals and what we need to have as families and what we need as a church and what we need to do as a nation. And what Isaiah had to understand is that God is holy.
Amen.
He sees Him high and lifted up, sitting on the throne, train filled the temple. And in verse 3, it says that, it says, and the seraphims cried out, holy, holy, holy. There's the Trinity, folks. God the Father is holy. God the Son is holy. The Holy Spirit is holy. Every part about God is holy.
Amen.
Oh, folks, we need to get a vision of holiness. See, in order for Isaiah to change and be called, he had to see God for who He is. In order for us to be used, we have to see God for who He is. Moses had to learn His holiness. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 5, in the middle of nowhere, God's everywhere. Moses out there watching sheep, there's a burning bush. He said, burning bush, I'll go over and look this. And God said, whoa. He heard a voice out of it, whoa. And He said, draw not nigh there. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Folks, our lives need to be holy ground. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Our families need to be holy ground. Our churches need to be holy ground. And we shouldn't defile them.
Right.
Don't bring the world's filth into here.
Amen.
The cross is the supreme example of His holiness. You want revival? Just look back to the cross. Here's the Holy God sending the Holy Son to become sin for us. To take our sins on His body and die for them on the cross. Colossians chapter 2 verse 14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. What we need to do in our lives, get our stuff out of the way. And let the holiness of God come in. And we need to understand the character of God. And we need a new awareness of that today. See, God has not changed. This is 700 years before Christ. Isaiah sees this. He sees God on the throne. Holy, holy, holy. Later on, John on the Isle of Patmos in the book of Revelation, before God reveals what's going to happen in end times, John sees heaven and then says, start writing these prophecies down. In Revelation chapter 4 verse 8, and the four beasts, I wonder what they are, okay? And each of them has six wings. Ah! 6 wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Folks, we need a new awareness of the holiness of God. We need a new awareness of the power of God. We need a new awareness of the knowledge of God. We need a new awareness of the eternity of God. We need the new awareness of the presence of God. Where can you go that God's not? The psalmist says nowhere. So we need a new awareness of the character of God. Secondly, we need a new awakening of Christian conscience. See, Isaiah saw himself measured by God's standard. And he said, I thought I was pretty good. Oh, no, I'm not good at all. And today, some have lost sight of God's standard. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, Now the Spirit, who is holy, by the way, okay, speaketh expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisies, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. You know, when did sin really start bothering you anymore? When is seeing something out there that doesn't is not holy start bother you? If it doesn't bother you, there's an issue here. We need a new awareness of the character of God. And we need a new awakening of our conscience. See, Isaiah, in verse 5, had a threefold confession here. His first statement was, Woe is me, I am undone. See, all of our righteousness are as filthy rags. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You can't be good enough. Isaiah is a pretty good guy. But in the presence of God's standard, he was not good enough. And he says, I am undone. All the things I thought about me, wasted. They're vanity. They're gone. The second thing is, he says, I'm a man of unclean lips. Oh, I keep on talking about this. There's people say they're Christians, and the stuff that comes out of their mouth. The Bible tells me two things. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if you're seeing those words, that's in your heart. The second thing is, James chapter 3 says that we control our tongue, we control our whole body. He says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. Brethren, these things not ought to be. Isaiah says, hey, Isaiah's a pretty good dude. He says, I'm undone. He says, I'm a man of unclean lips. Everything I say is wrong. And then thirdly, he says this. He says, I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And folks, we are there today.
Right.
Maybe you're there today. Maybe you think you're good enough. Nope. Maybe you're there today and your language is not quite where it is. You need change. You need revival. You need revival. See, Isaiah was specific here. And he said, I'm done. I am done. My speech is undone. I live in a land that's undone. Just done. We need to be specific and clear in our conscience. In the church of Corinth, they had a big problem of immorality. They finally got it right. And Paul talks about this. It says, when they finally figured out, they understood the character of God, they understood they needed to clear their conscience, this is what happened. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 11, it says, And behold, this selfsame thing, that ye what? Sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you. It went beyond what the problem was and had them search their entire life in their church. It says, yea, what clearing of yourselves. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Yea, what vehement desire. Yea, what zeal. Folks, we didn't get on fire for God. We sing the songs, but where's the zeal? Where's the zeal? Yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear of this matter. What is bothering your conscience today? Folks, if your conscience is bothered, you need revival. See, the Bible says this. It says, if our heart condemns us not, we have confidence with God. Wednesday night, we talked about Psalm 19. It says, and the psalmist says, cleanse me from unsecret faults. Cleanse me from secret faults. Folks, we need to confess. Bible says this, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But we've got to say it. It's got to be specific, folks. You know what God knows. And you know what God wants you to do. Why won't we do it? Do it today. See, clear your conscience, because we need a new awakening a Christian conscience so we can have revival. We need to understand God's forgiveness. You know, Paul keeps on writing, it's this problem of every church. We get free of something and then we go right back into it because the temptation's always there. We talked about this last week. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 through 17, Paul writes this. He says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against you. If you love me, keep my commandments. And in their minds will I write them. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You will prove what is that good, perfect, acceptable will of God. Folks, if we don't do these things, there's no revival. Because there's no change. There's no change. And their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. You know, I hear people talk about the good old days. No, all those things before I got saved, they're not good old days. They're days that I needed to be undone for. That was a person of unclean lips. That I needed to be cleansed of that. And God's done that. He's made me a new man. Old things are passed away. All things become new. Do we need to get a new awareness of the character of God this morning? Do we need a new awakening of our Christian conscience? Thirdly, and I close with verse 8. We need a new concern for the souls of men. See, true revival in the church makes a church a soul-winning church. And that's how people are added to the church. By winning souls. By winning souls. See, in verse 8, the Lord's question comes. It says this. It says, whom shall I send? And whom will go with us? See, God's looking for that today. See, Isaiah had a three-step process to get to this point. First of all, he had to see God for who he was. Secondly, he needed to understand who he was and get forgiveness. And we know in verses 5 and 6 that one of the seraphims took a tong off of the altar and put it on his lips. It says, by this is your sin purged. Iniquities are gone. See, we need that today. Then he was called. We can't get revival. You can't do the things that God wants you to do in your life until you understand his character. You can't do it until you have a clear conscience. You can't serve two masters. You can't dabble in the world and dabble in God. That's what a lot of the carnal Christians today are doing that. Well, they got big churches. I don't care how big the church is. The issue is I care how holy the church is.
Amen.
And how we're walking with God. See, Isaiah's response. Put me in, coach. I understand now. He says, here am I, Lord. Here am I. Send me. See, you know, we have a lot of prayer requests in the morning, and we talk about that. But until recently, they weren't necessarily for revival. They weren't necessary for people to get right with God. They're about all the circumstances that we live in instead of fixing me. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. If God fixes you, he'll fix your circumstances. We get it backwards. We want him to fix all the things around us, the environment that we're living in, and then we'll be fixed. And we're not going to be like Jacob. See, we'll pray for just about everything else. But are you willing to pray for God to send you? Are you willing to pray for revival to break out in your life? Are you willing to pray for revival to break out in church? See, revival produces soul winners, people who care. Are you willing to go to wherever God, the Lord, leads, sends, or leads? See, the Lord's question still stands today. We here at Tally Road are confronted with the same question today. Whom will I send, and who will go for us? In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, and he said, I sought for a man among them that they should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land. That's what we're talking about today, folks. We're talking about revival in America. We're going to say, someone stand up for the land.
Amen.
That I should not destroy it, but I found none. See, that's why things are doing this today, because we're not heeding the call. We need revival. God is looking for revival today. What will your answer be? What will your answer be? The reality of this is when our heart's right, we'll start serving God. Is your heart right with God? It can't be right unless you have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son to live a perfect life to see this is what God's standard is. This is how to live in God. And the people crucified him. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of him. He died on the cross, was buried for 3 days, and rose again to show that he has power over sin, power to quicken our spirit, and to save us, and to give us a home in heaven.
Amen.
If you've never asked him to save you, if you've never asked him to do that, you need that today. A simple prayer. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve heaven. I know that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. He died on the cross for my sins. He was buried and rose again the third day. I ask you to forgive me my sins and be my Savior. A simple prayer like that will give you eternity in heaven. That's what matters most. Christian. What we need to do is put me in, coach. But in order to get put into the game, we need to know the character of the coach. We need to know who he's like. It's not what we think, it's what he says he is.
Right.
We need to have a clear conscience. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
Right.
And then we say, answer the call. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, just ask you for this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts. And Father, just have your will and way here today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.